who a friend of another country just to give without anything in return. So time has come for us to know what we are giving in the relationship with France and what France is giving to us. If we create that new basis of clarity, I think the friendship between France and Benin, as well as with the other African countries, has very, you know, a brighter future. But if we don't do that, what you've been saying of loss of influence will keep on going, and I don't think it will be benefit for anyone.
Daniel Eder is an aspiring presidential candidate in Benin. He spoke with me from the Malawian capital, Lilongwe.
Hi, I'm VOA's Kim Lewis. Coming up on Issues in the News this weekend, former U.S. President Donald Trump was booked at a Georgia jail on 41 charges, and Republican presidential hopefuls sparred in the first debate leading up to the 2024 national election. Join us this weekend for Issues in the News.
In Zambia, a leading opposition figure says it is wrong for any government to use state institutions, including the police and the judiciary, to settle political scores against opponents. Tshisimba Kambwili, a former minister and aspiring presidential candidate from the main opposition party, Patriotic Front, says intimidation and harassment of opponents undermine democracy. This after Kambwili condemned what he says appears to be the frequent arrest and questioning of Fred Membe, the leader of the opposition Socialist Party. Membe was detained for questioning by the police over allegations of disturbances during a recent by-election. He denies the charges. Tshisimba Kambwili tells me that the recent arrests of opposition leaders appear to be a plan to divert attention from the prevailing economic conditions, including high food prices.
Opposition political parties are extremely disappointed with the behavior or turn of events of our friends in government under the UPND. It has become so bad that now most of the people are scared of talking. You know that in this country, civil society is very strong. But what he did, he got almost all the strong civil society and gave them jobs in government. And the few civil society that have remained are scared of talking, because whatever you say, the government will use the cyber security law to find something incriminating and arrest you, put you in detention without being taken to court for up to 10, 20 days, and then regarding taking you to court. Some people that have been arrested have never appeared in court, but they were detained up to about 15, 20 days without trial. So it is extremely bad that we have lost the civil and political space in Zambia.
Are you saying some of the allegations of repression and the clampdown on free speech that were leveled against the previous administration is happening now? Is that what you are saying?
It is more than it was happening in the previous regime. Look, for instance, Fred Membe merely said that one of the senior police officers refused to take advice from the Solicitor General to replace one of the officers who was fired on the flimsy grounds, and that officer went into depression and died. Can you imagine that he was arrested, that he's defaming the officer, detained for 2 days, and gave him the charge of libel?
You can't make a thing up if you don't have of it. Otherwise, anybody can make any wild allegation, tarnish the image of the Zambian police, and get away with it. People won't be held accountable, in spite of the fact that they're free. It comes with responsibility to come, don't think.
Peter, what is happening today is unprecedented. President Akainde Ichilema himself, while he was in opposition, he made a lot of allegations against people. And I cannot say that Fred Membe does not have the evidence. He does have the evidence. He has challenged them that he has the evidence and he has the proof that this happened. So are you going to be arresting people for saying things when they have proof? What you need to do is to investigate whether indeed such an incident happened before you rush into arresting somebody and charge them with life.
Trampola suggests that it is fair for Dr. Membe, invited by the to provide the tests he has in order to clear any misconception, and if found not to have framed anybody, he goes court free. So people questioning the police and by extension the government are clamping down neither here nor there, and a tantamount plans by the opposition to make the government unpopular or defame the government. Your thoughts?
No, that is not true, my brother. That is not true. Let not government try to protect themselves using underhand method. You see, I believe that every responsible leader like Mr. Membe, myself and others, will not make wild allegations with without proof. Indeed, that man died. And the family are saying he died out of depression. So where did Dr. Membe go wrong? Where did he go wrong? There has been more arrests of opposition leaders more than ever before during this regime. For instance, me, I was advising the nation against voting on regional lines and voting on tribal lines to avoid dividing the nation. Instead of giving me a pat on the back, they arrest me that I'm encouraging tribalism. When you listen to my discourse, you find that I was actually discouraging tribalism and voting on tribal lines. Even saying these people who are voting on tribal lines, please do not hate them. Embrace them and just teach them that what they are doing is wrong. I'm arrested for encouraging tribalism. It doesn't work out.
Chishimba Kambwili is a leading opposition figure in the Patriotic Front, PF. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. Herbert Mensah, a prominent international businessman and sports administrator, is the new president of Rugby Africa for the next 4 years. He says boosting the growth of the game on the continent is his priority. He also seeks to ensure officials treat the sport as a business to generate revenues and development opportunities for member associations. I reached Herbert Mensah and began by asking him about his vision and plans for Rugby Africa.
Well, I think the vision for me is really quite clear. I have a history within sports administration, the last 20 years of recognizing one fundamental thing, that is that sport is big business. The fundamentals are understanding that sport is big business, and therefore we have to change the dynamic of relationship with our global body, our relationship with others, and look at means of raising that whilst trying to make sure that it becomes the alternative sport to soccer across the continent of Africa.
You're talking about sports being a business. That means you have to change mindset, or you have to help people to realize and come around to your vision. How do you plan on doing that?
Well, you're absolutely correct. That is the word that I have used before I came to office and since. That is a change of mindset. That is a major issue here because we have to look at it two ways. I'm calling for a change of mindset internally first. Internally. I'm not one of those who says the world owes us. Nobody owes anybody in this dispensation. So we need to change internally the mindset. It means within Rugby Africa, there's a big shakeup. Are the right people in the right place? Do we need different people in? We need to get people who really appreciate that bottom line. We need to go out there and look for money. We need to look and understand that the dynamics of doing business in Africa is different from the rest of the world. You have to be completely different in your mindset. So we're looking for internal changes to recognize that. Once you have the right people in place, which is what we're trying to do now, with World Rugby, with the RFU, with FFR, when I say RFU, that's the English Rugby Football Union, which we're about to start, FFR, which is the French Rugby Federation, with the AU itself, African Union, to put rugby on the curriculum for schools in some format or other, and the others in terms of their funding programs, directly through their existing sponsors or through the development agencies who are actually spending money in Africa for training and such like. We need to be in a position where we understand that funding now has come from alternative sources.
Now, Herbert, how do you intend engaging respective governments in Africa to actualize this dream? Because, as you know, in Africa, governments play key roles in how administrations are run, or even, you know, any business or entity, sports-wise, are run in their countries across Africa.
You're absolutely correct, and I think this is something that I've come in and I've had to bring in my past experience from running Kumasi Asante Kotoko to the world of rugby to understand that we need, if you're not politically linked, then you are compromised. And I think that the leadership of rugby generally across Africa is not politically linked, and the challenges are there. It is not like, as I said, if it is Patrice Motsepe, who are wealthy in their own right, the owners of TP Mazembe and all the other massive clubs across Africa, they are either massive business entities unto themselves or they have the political wherewithal to move forward. I've been in office now for 4 to 5 months, and what I've done in this time period is engage presidents and ministers in sports so far in 7 countries, and I'm on a mission to get through all of those who are ready to do business. We now have some. I sat recently with the Honorable Minister and Cabinet Secretary in Kenya, and I have so much respect for them. And I said, we need to move forward in a different way.
Eben Mensa is a prominent international businessman and sports administrator and the new president of Rugby Africa. He spoke with me from the British capital, London. This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nile and Africa. I'm your host, Peter Kwasi, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nile and Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley. That will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. It's now time for Nile and Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. The quest for continental glory continued on Saturday as more clubs sealed their places in the next stage of the CAF Champions League preliminary round. After a 2-1 away loss to Namibia's African Stars, Zambia's Power Dynamos managed a hard-fought 1-0 victory to advance to the next round, with the aggregate score being 2-2. The Zambians' victory set them up with an interesting battle against Tanzanian powerhouse Simba SC in the next round. In another fixture on the southern part of the continent, Eswatini's Green Mamba welcomed UD Songo of Mozambique in the thrilling encounter that concluded with a 1-1 draw, with the Mozambicans marching into the next round on a 2-1 aggregate score following their 1-0 win last weekend. UD Songo will now face Angola's Petro Atletico in the next round. Last season's CAF Confederations Cup runners-up, Young Africans, thrashed Djiboutian club Ali Sabia 5-1 at home to make the aggregate score 7-1 in what was a one-sided affair at the Azam Complex in Chamazi, Tanzania. Moving up north, Tunisia's ES du Sahel finished the job at home against Algeria's CS Constantine with a narrow 1-0 win, which was enough to see them through following their 2-0 first-leg win in Constantine last week. Uganda's Vipers FC were determined to reverse a 2-0 defeat suffered at the hands of Jwaneng Galaxy in Botswana. The East Africans were, however, dealt a heavy blow just minutes before full time as Galaxy pulled on back to make the score 3-2 on aggregate to the dismay of the host. The first round of the preliminary stage concludes on Sunday to determine the final fixtures of the second round of the preliminary stage, where the fight for a place in the group stages intensifies. Staying with the Confederation of African Football, the continent's governing football body and the Saudi Arabian Football Federation have announced Saudi Arabia to be this year's host of the CAF Super Cup 2023, scheduled for the 15th of September. The CAF Super Cup Final 2023 will be contested by current CAF Champions League champions Al-Hakli FC and Algeria's USMA, the champions of the CAF Confederations Cup. The match is scheduled to be played at the city of Taif at the iconic King Fahad Stadium. In basketball news, the prestigious 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup is officially underway. 32 teams are in the fight to be crowned world champions, with the final taking place on the 10th of September in Manila's Mall of Asia Arena. The first group phase sees all participating nations divided into 8 groups of 4 teams. Angola, South Sudan, Egypt and Cote d'Ivoire are representing Africa. In some of the games played on Saturday, South Sudan narrowly lost to Puerto Rico 101-96. Cape Verde lost 60-85 to Georgia. Spain beat Cote d'Ivoire 94-64. Sunday's game will see Egypt play Montenegro, while Philippines will play Angola. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. There is a general consensus amongst BRIC members that the 15th summit of BRIC group has been successful and see it as a historical event. This is not a hyperbole. During 3 days of consultations, state informal sessions, retreats, and bilateral discussions, the BRIC members were frank, clear-thinking, and not hesitant to point out their view of the current international situation. They are in common agreement, one, that they do not want to be a small, inclusive group of member states who have the same views on many issues. For them, the BRIC group is a group of nations who have a shared history of colonialism and imperialism and underdevelopment. It is for this group, for this reason, that the group seeks to be inclusive and to appreciate diverse opinion in harmony. But they do have a common purpose, and they also wish to economize or end underdevelopment and to proceed on a developed stage. They are not worried if the expanded group members do not agree on many international issues. They see this as, in fact, a plus. The members also agreed that they do not agree that there is a system of hierarchical values before which all other states must kowtow. They believe that a world order is not shaped by a small group, but should be the work of the global community. That is why they stress again and again that they believe in multilateralism based on the letter and spirit of the United Nations Charter, which pledged to save mankind from the scourge of war and the maintenance of international peace and security. They express disapproval of the dominance of multilateral organizations of the Western powers, and they want more democratization of these institutions, including the financial institutions. The group members want to stress that they are not in confrontation with the West, and they do not seek to replace existing organizations of like-mindedness. In fact, they would wish for cooperation, and they stressed that in particular the democratization of the Bretton Woods institution. They also made clear that they do not agree that member states of BRICS should choose whom they want to have as their partner and not be told those which should not be their members or their partners. The decision to expand BRICS is a joint one. It is reached by consensus, and it was not haphazard and not sudden. According to the host president, Cyril Ramaphosa, the consultation of the expansion has been going on for a very, very, very long time. And let me add that at the sideline of this summit, the president of China, Xi Jinping, met with a large number of heads of state of African countries in the China-Africa consultation. He expressed China's commitment to work closely with African countries, particularly, he pledged, the plan to industrialize Africa, a long, long expected objective of the African states. And he pledged two programs, one for $10 billion, another for $4 million, that should help this goal and purpose. Let us note that just after the close of the summit, already the airwaves were being filled with those who are not well informed for trying to minimize the importance of the summit. I dare say any careful study of the closing session of the summit will prove that the efforts will be futile. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Yonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
Happy birthday to see your table. Get party tonight, become a place. Invite all your friends, Rose and Kato.
disaster like we they work for NATO. Oh my darling, yeah, Melissa, both make a woman take the picture. If I don't marry you in future, like a great, I just wanna be a mister. Oh my darling, yeah, Melissa, oh bro, yeah, Melissa, it's no watch and it's no visa. Because for the university, your body no be paper, but I love your property. Go tell your father, Mr. Socrates, say I make ready to make humanity. Oh my darling, yeah, Melissa, both make a woman take me picture. If I don't marry you in future, like a great, I just wanna be a minister. Oh my darling, yeah, Melissa, oh bro, yeah, Melissa, it's no watching, it's no visa. Oh bro, yeah, Melissa. I guess we need some plans specially for you, so that put me for waiting you. Oh, any little thing that we do, should be between me and you. Happy birthday to see your cake. The party tonight before my play to. Invite all your friends, Rose and Kato. Disaster like we, they work for NATO. Oh my darling, yeah, Melissa, both make a who could take the picture. If I don't marry you in future, like a great, I just wanna be a mister. Oh my darling, yeah, Melissa, oh bro, yeah, Melissa, it's no watch and it's no visa. Oh bro, yeah, Melissa. Oh bro, yeah, Melissa, it's no watch and it's no visa.
Arriba, bailar conmigo.
Amen.
Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of The Voice of America. I hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, ask the eldest, if the child of an elephant will not be a dwarf. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington.